Okay, everyone, we're on part three, and we left off right when Bill was saying you need to ask the right questions, and you were calling yourself, I am just an ordinary bloke.
I am just an ordinary bloke. I don't have any particular skills other than I do have an ability to tell a story on film and now in novel form, which both have taken a long time. It's taken me 30 years, really, to learn how to make a film. It took me 10 years to learn how to transfer my screenwriting skills into the skills to be able to write a novel. And, you know, I used to think it was a handicap that I didn't have any particular sort of psychic skills or ability to connect to any sort of higher channel or anything like that. But I'm kind of starting to realize
that... Can I be a little edgy with you?
Yeah.
Do I have permission?
Yeah.
The day when I interviewed you in December of 2021, mm-hmm. I remember in our interview a very profound moment when you were in medical school and you had the choice between going back and taking your exams versus going out there on this adventure with surfing, I believe.
That's true.
And so I believe that this is for everyone to think about yourself, because some people are labeling themselves as intuitives and spiritual leaders. But what I want to kind of myth bust, and I love that you're calling yourself an ordinary bloke, because I want to just empower everyone that there's times, if you look at your life, when something drops into your awareness, your intuition. And I think at that most profound moment of kind of like the Matrix, like, do you take the red pill or the blue pill? Do you get in your car and go and take your medical school exams versus do you go and catch that wave? Something about you at that moment, I don't know your age at that time, did listen to your inner voice, and it created this whole other path for you.
Hmm. It's true, Denise. When I look back on that moment, and it was a very pivotal moment in my life, I realize now that I followed my intuitive leaning. But I didn't realize it at the time. And I think that's the case with a lot of people. If they look back on their life and they see the crossroads, because we all come to crossroads and we all make decisions. And most of the time we make decisions out of fear. What we do is we subsume our intuitive voice and we make decisions out of fear. Now, in that instance, the safe decision would have been to go back and sit for the exam and become a doctor, because I'd done my homework. I could have passed the exam, but my intuition, and I didn't realize that it was my intuition at the time, but my inner voice said, Bill, you're not cut out to be a doctor. This is not your life. This is not who you are. You don't quite know who you are at the moment, but you're more a free spirit out in those waves with this new surfboard that you've got, and you're not a clinician, you're not a physician, you're not, you might be a healer in other ways, but you're certainly not a doctor. Now, I took, if you like, the decision to go back and sit for the exam to be a doctor was the fear decision. Because I would have made the safe decision based on fear. And that is fear of disappointing my parents, fear of being a bum, fear of not having an occupation. I was, like I say, both my parents were dentists. It was kind of required of me to go into the medical professions, whatever that might be. So choosing to sit for that exam, choosing to get in the car, drive back and sit for that exam, pass my year, go on and complete medical school, that was a fear-based decision. I didn't realize it at the time, but other decision, and that decision was to throw all that up in the wind, grab my surfboard off the top of my car, go back out into the waves and keep surfing and allow my future to unfold in whatever way the universe required it to or wanted me to. So, like I say, I'm only now able to see, knowing that I know now what I know about intuition and the way intuition works, I'm now able to see, and there've been other pivotal moments in my life as well, you know, but that was a pretty clear cut one, I think.
I think it's really interesting when each of us do our own life review while we're still here on Earth, because a lot of times you talk about, you know, the possibility of people believe in the soul being eternal, which I do. And I want people to have their own curiosity about that. And they talk about when there's near-death experiences, their life flashes before them. I think it's kind of neat if you do your own life review in real time and look back at pivotal moments when you just listen to your gut feeling. And I feel like this is a great segue. You know, you're talking about being an ordinary bloke. You're talking about your whole career path. And now you've got this new movie coming out. And you just kind of alluded to different types of fear when you described your decision to not pursue medical school. So for all of us, if we just take a pause and look back at pivotal moments, we might be surprised as to how much we were guided by our own inner, as you say, personal guidance system, for PGS intuition. But now you've got movie one, and now we've got your understanding of the universe. And now let's kind of segue into what inspired this next movie and just really get us excited about what's up next.
While I was making PGS, Denise, I started to realize that fear is the greatest inhibitor to intuition. That most people operate out of fear, and they suppress their intuitive voice. They suppress their intuitive signals, and they either reject them, they don't believe them, they don't think they're real, or if they do think they're real, they still veer towards the safe choice, which is the fear-based choice. So then, as soon as I realized that fear was the greatest inhibitor to intuition, I then started to ask myself, well, what is fear? Because just like I asked myself, what is intuition? And when I really started to dig down, I didn't have a bloody clue what intuition was. I thought I knew, but the more I researched and the more I read, the more I became confused as to what I thought intuition was. It took me many, many years of, you know, quite deep research to really come to an understanding of what intuition is. And in the same way, I didn't really know what fear was. I mean, we think we know what fear is, but if you really, you know, if you really start to peel back the layers, I mean, what is fear and how does fear work and why does fear work? And do we need fear? And what's this whole thing about fear versus love and love versus fear and so forth? You know, these were questions that kept on tugging at me, and the only way that I could really kind of answer those questions was to make a film about it and go out and seek some of the world's top experts on fear and ask them these questions.
This is a really incredible question, because I have, when someone comes to see me in my psychiatry practice, and I had such an eloquent session this week that really tags off this concept, because I have someone that's now thriving. They just graduated from high school. They came to me probably 3 years ago with depression and generalized anxiety in the Western understanding of generalized anxiety. But I like to take that multidimensional approach of adding intuition and looking at how someone perceives the world. So I honor science, I honor my Western MD, but I was so impressed with this 18-year-old this week when I was checking in with her. And she said that she's really working on, and she knows how to ascertain what her anxiety is versus her empathic intuition. And I have my own description of this, but I love it when I help kind of ignite people to be their own best friend and figure this out for themselves. And this would probably tag into the movie and what the experts say, but I can say clinically, what she said to me is, Dr. McDermott, when it just, and this is something that we know, but she said it in her own words to validate what I know, is that when it just drops into my awareness and it's just neutral, that's more of an intuition. When it drops into my awareness and has another physiological feeling, for her, she was delineating that's more of an anxiety or an OCD or whatever we talk about in the Western medicine world. And I know that there's all these different examples, but I think a big part of what you're about to talk about and kind of getting us excited about this film is, I just watched the trailer that you sent to me, is real fear versus fake fear and how that relates to being in flow and into intuition, into honoring our own intuition. And there are physiological things that come into our awareness that do help us in the primal way, that help us just to survive on Earth. So can you comment on what your perspective is on fear?
Denise, you lob these questions at me like bloody hand grenades.
And oh my gosh, is this too much? Oh my gosh. Am I going to go time out? No,
I mean,
we'll have like a meme. If we were producing this on stage, we'd hit a button and be like, oh no, what did she do? She asked me three things. Okay, go ahead.
No, but it's such a huge topic. And I'm only now starting to feel like I can speak confidently about it and speak with some authority, because it's one thing to do the interviews with these people. It's another thing to actually sit down with them for, we're now almost 20 weeks into editing, almost 6 months into editing, and that's 5 days a week, almost 10 hours a day each day.
Wow.
And so I'm seeing these interviews backwards and forwards, over and over again, and starting to seep in. But
Well, wait, this is really important.
Yeah.
Respectfully, if you're so into the art of editing and the art of integrating everything you spoke to with different individuals and their fear perception, we can talk about this in a lighter way, and we could do a deep dive later, because you're kind of in the, you've been like, my understanding is you and Jennifer are going on and like doing the final cuts. And so I just want you to know, I sit on the front lines of consciousness as an MD, listening to about 6 to 8 patients a day, anywhere from 4 to 5 days a week for the last 21 years.
Yeah.
So I'm like sitting in that seat of helping people, and they're facing their fear or facing their feelings.
Yeah.
So for your neurostyle of intellectual curiosity meets intuition, meets producing, meets directing, I want to have reverence. If you want to answer this in a very short way, and then we can do a deeper dive once the movie launches, I want to respect you.
Well, thanks, Denise. Look, that'd be fantastic. You see, what I see my job as being is this. My job is to look at a subject, take complex thoughts and ideas, and distill them down into a form that is accessible to the widest possible audience, without in any way dumbing it down, or without in any way lessening the integrity of the ideas and the concepts. So my job is to take complex ideas and put them into a form that is easy for people to swallow, to accept, or to consider, not necessarily accept, but to consider. And if I do that well, then I've done my job, you know, as a communicator, because ultimately that's my function, I think, during this lifetime, that I'm just a very, very simple communicator. I liken myself to a ferryman going down a stream carrying important freight, and my job is to try and keep the ferry off the rocks and deliver my parcels to the wharf right at the mouth of the river, you know. And I've got a very, very, I've got a very soft hand on the tiller. If that makes sense, that, you know, that's who I am.
Well, it makes sense to me, and for people listening, if you are really intrigued and inspired, please watch PGS Intuition, because I want to just say, and I don't want to give away the movie, but the way you produce the frames, they are very clear shots of a question, a curiosity, and then there's, I like the mindful pause, because to me, when you're talking about how, because by the way, I'm very passionate about the same way, like how do I get what I know as a doctor out to the masses in a way that's tangible, right? And I always come up with those, the phrases stop, drop, and roll, like I think we've talked about before. When we're little kids, when we ever hear stop, drop, and roll, if we catch on fire, it's just so, we just remember it. So I think the way you're producing films and the way there were the pauses in between give people a chance to have their own. I like what you said about people to consider, because you want people to experience your films. You want to give people data from people, the experts all around the world that you've interviewed, but you want people to remember that they have to integrate their own curiosity. You're not telling people what to think or believe. You're giving data and different perspectives so that they can then process it.
Well, that's very, very true, Denise. And the other thing I'm doing is I'm documenting my own feelings and thoughts about things, but I'm not telling people that they necessarily should follow my thoughts. Everybody's going to come at this stuff with their own particular worldview, and their worldview is going to be probably different from my worldview. It's not my job to tell people how to think. It's my job to... I say go on a journey, and people can observe that journey and take something from it, or they can choose not to. But I can never be criticized for my journey because it's my journey. That's the thing. I'm not proselytizing. I'm not preaching. I'm not trying to convert. I'm saying this is what I'm going through. And these are the reasons why I'm going through it. And if you wish to take something from it, then please, by all means, do. And if you don't, then that's okay too.
I love that. So can you let us all know, a little teaser into the next movie? And do you want to include, I want to be respectful because it's going to launch. There's times we can just finish up a little bit here. What do you want to share right here about your next film?
Well, I'd like to... PGS and Facing Fear are they're companion films. They each have the same style, and one sort of follows logically from the other. I'd like to do a third film on hope. That would be the next film that I would like to do in the same kind of style and so forth, part of the series. I would like to explore truth. I would like to explore purpose. And I've already shot quite a bit of a film called The Veil, which looks at the veil encompassing us all and the separation between our illusion and our true selves. And that would involve past lives, reincarnation, the soul's journey, and so forth. Like I say, I've already shot quite a bit of stuff on that already, but the next film out of the gate, I would like to be, I should say, I hope to be about hope. Because I think hope would be a good film to follow up after Fear.
I agree. I mean, talk about crisis, stabilization, and thrive. And I think part of stabilization is having hope. So I think it's beautiful. And the next one's truth and then purpose. I love that. So what's the next step? When can we hear more about your next film? I feel like it should be closer to the time it's released, right?
Yeah, so what we're doing at the moment is we're going through the final stages of post-production. The film will be ready for release in Australia mid-October. We might have a one-off sneak preview online release of the film outside of Australia for North America only, round about the time of the Australian release, because there's going to be a lot of publicity with the Australian release. Already we're getting a lot of messages from people in America saying when can we see the film. So what I'm thinking is that we might do a big online release, say towards the end of October, hopefully with a Q&A with some people like Joe Dispenza, Bruce Lipton, Lee Carroll. You know, I'd hope that they might be involved in a Q&A afterwards. Right. And then what we'll do then is we'll do a theatrical rollout, like I say, from January 2023, starting in San Rafael and then going around the country, and that would be accompanied by Q&As.
Oh, nice.
So that's the plan.
Fantastic. So hold on one moment. Do you want to say anything about, I think it's actually the next one. I already know the answer. I think in our next interview, we might go a deeper dive on this film and just give a little teaser on fake fear, right? Versus real fear.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the things that came up fairly quickly when I started to make the film. This notion that there is true fear and false fear. Most of us live in false fear. Denise, let me finish up with this. I've come up with this analogy. You're in a plane, right? And the plane suddenly plummets. It suddenly nosedives. The oxygen masks drop down. Hand baggage flies out from the container bins above the passengers and so forth, and everybody screams and goes into panic. You know, the plane is in a full nosedive plummet. Sitting in one of the seats is the Dalai Lama. Now, the Dalai Lama, instead of screaming, goes into a meditative state. And what the Dalai Lama does is he disassociates himself with time. Now, the people in the plane are screaming for two reasons. One is because they believe they're going to die, the plane's going to crash and they're going to die. The other is because, they have this belief because they have seen movies and TV shows where planes have crashed and people have died, or they've seen news reports where planes have crashed and people have died. So the fear that they're experiencing is both backward fear and forward fear. They're scared because they think they're going to die. So that's something in the future, based on when a plane begins to plummet like this, the plane crashes and people die, based on what they know from what they've seen in the past. Now, the Dalai Lama is not in fear because the Dalai Lama has disassociated himself from time. He's in a meditative state and he's not fearful because he is not holding on to the past or the future. He is right in the present moment. And so one of the things that I realized with fear is that fear is a construct of time. And false fear absolutely is a construct of time. False fear is based on something that might happen in the future or is rooted in an experience in the past. So if you can get yourself to a point where you disassociate yourself from the past and the future, not necessarily go into a Dalai Lama meditation, but if you can cut off fear, false fear, based on the past and the future, then you can get rid of fear. Hello?
I'm here. I'm listening. I'm just listening to this from your perspective, from what I know spiritually, and then also from what my patients experience. And so I think what we're talking about is how to be in the moment of now. Mm-hmm. I talk about moments of now. And I think this is a great place to end, because I think that in the moment of now, there are times where there is real fear. And I think that's what the movie is going to be all about. Yep. Fake versus real fear. And then in the moment of now, if you're experiencing that physiological and spiritual state, what is that? And then also I, at this point, the linear language is a little frustrating for me, like fake versus real, because it's all about perception. And so that's why I'm really excited about this film, because it's going to be interesting to hear how many different perceptions do you have in this film?
You've got 24 people.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So to me, I love that from a scientific method. And then I can't wait to watch it and see it, and then also maybe apply it to what I see as a psychiatrist and an empath and an intuitive on the front lines with people having this and helping them, right? Because people need to learn how to be their own best healer. So I think the movies and the media that you're creating are incredible, because it gives people a template for accessing what does intuition mean to them and what does real fear versus fake. Are you calling it real fear versus what? I want to make sure I acknowledge, is it real versus fake fear?
The film is divided up into 10 chapters. One of the chapters is real fear versus false fear. Mm-hmm. But there are other chapters like how does fear work? Do we need fear? Fear versus love, stuff like that.
Okay, so right as we're ending this trilogy that we had no idea was going to be three shows in a row, remember, everyone, what inspired this set of interviews that I thought in the linear way was going to be in August, that's now happening in July, that's going to launch within the week, is because Bill, literally, he and his wife... This is the third interview. If you've listened to all these, do you want to just describe what just happened and how ironic that is with what you were doing this week?
Sorry, say that again, Denise.
What inspired this series of three interviews was the event that happened the other night.
I nearly got taken out by a green muscle car that represented fear, and I refused to face fear. I dealt with the situation, and I chose not to be engaged by fear. Had I been engaged by fear, I wouldn't be talking to you now. I'd be in some sort of place with a little label on my toe.
Oh my goodness. Okay, so everyone, thank you for, by the way, Bill, thank you for our time of producing three different shows tonight. And I'm so grateful and honored that we had this time, but also that you and Jennifer in this earth realm, that you're still here. That's amazing.
Thank you, Denise. Look, thank you for this opportunity. I just really enjoy talking to you all the time. So thank you.
Thank you. And then can you let everyone know where they can find you?
Sure. My website is billbennett.com.au, so Bill Bennett, BENNETT.com.au. This Camino book is actually on Amazon, so it's called The Way, My Way, with my name, Bill Bennett. And Denise, I'll send you a copy because I think you might enjoy it. It's written in a... kind of Bill Bryson sort of comedic sort of voice. So, but it has... It has some really big insights in it, I think.
Okay, fantastic. Thanks, everyone, for listening to our trilogy. And Bill, I can't wait to have you back. And also, I can't wait to see you when you come to the States.
I'm looking forward to that too, as well.
Okay. All right. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, Denise.
Thank you, Belle.
Oh, that was amazing. Thank you.